We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you live in the Kia studios. We'll be back at Flowery Branch tomorrow at 10 a.m. Weather permit. Now, weather's supposed to be great the
nice
rest of the week.
Yeah, it's supposed to be great.
It's kind of nasty up there. Saw some photos of the guys still practiced outside, by the way. The team still practiced outside. It wasn't like it was dangerous weather conditions.
Wasn't no lightning.
It wasn't no light. Yeah, it was no lightning. So that's important. But, you know, rain and radio gear sometimes. You know how Eric gets.
Yeah, I know how Eric gets. Tent with no sides on it. But that's not.
No, that might have helped if there were sides, on,
sides
the
on the tent.
But that's okay. I'm not going to tell anybody how to do their job.
No, Eric's just happy he ain't got to go up there. They just, Eric chilling.
They told us to hang out here at the Kia Studios, and we obliged. We'll be back up there tomorrow as well. But Ricardo Allen going to join us from Flowery Branch in about half an hour. Going to let you hear from Austin Hooper in a minute as well. John and Hugh had him on, had a chance to talk to him as well. And then get into some of this Odell Beckham Jr. stuff. Odell Beckham Jr. GQ interview where they touched on a lot of different topics, Randy. This hour brought to you by R.S. Andrews, by the way. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. So like we said, in 20 minutes from now, we'll get to a bunch of different audio from yesterday. Dan Quinn spoke with the media, as did Deion Jones, as did Grady Jarrett. Mohamed Sanu was on with us. We'll react to some of that in 20 minutes. In half an hour, Ricardo Allen will join us, and then we'll get to the Wendy Zone at 11:40, as always. But before we do anything else, I wanted to give you a chance to hear from Austin Hooper. He was on with the morning show, guys. And just like I said yesterday when I threw to an interview from John and Hugh, I'm just going to let Hugh ask the first question because only Hugh Douglas can ask questions the way that Hugh Douglas asks them. So here's Hugh.
First of all, Austin, do you still have beef with the media? Because if you do, we want to squash that right now. It's a done deal. We're squashing it right now.
I had no issues. I just had an honest conversation. Some fans appreciate the honesty. Some others, you know, got a little hurt by it. It's 2019. You know, you got some people are going to be sensitive no matter what. Though.
No, I'm just asking. I'm just making sure we're cool. Anybody, we're good.
We've had a good relationship for years, man. I love the fans. Love the media. I mean, there was just something, you know, I had to correct with two individuals. And, I mean, we just had an honest conversation. That's it.
I
feel
respect
like,
that. I respect
know, I just
that.
Want to talk to him as a man. I feel like a lot of people appreciate that. Some people don't. So it is what it is.
So coming off that Pro Bowl season, how does it feel to be a Pro Bowler, and what are you expected to do? What are your expectations for yourself this upcoming season?
I mean, my expectation is just, you know, continue to be a good teammate, do anything the organization asks of me in the running game, obviously passing game. I mean, could be back there protecting Matt's blind side and pass pro too. Like, literally just keep the same mentality I've had, to keep the one, get 1% better every single day attitude I've had since I came here. And you know, over time, I feel like I've developed, and I feel like that mentality has allowed me to become better and allowed me to mature and grow. So I just want to keep that mentality.
Austin Hooper, Falcons tight end, with John and Hugh on the morning show. All right, another offensive coordinator change and another kind of new set. What's your first impression of Dirk Koetter and Mike Mularkey in the staff?
I'm very blessed to have you know both those guys in the offensive room. I mean, especially Mike Mularkey. I mean, Dirk's been great in terms of paring down the offense, allowing us to play faster by simply just, it's not about, it's less is more, if that makes sense. Like, it's just understanding that we can line up in any position, anywhere on the field, and everyone who's a route runner understands the concept. So I feel like the learning has been tremendous. And Mike Mularkey brings, you know, 30-plus years experience as a player, a position coach, a play caller, a head coach. So, I mean, I'm just trying to be a sponge and absorb as much as I can from Mike because, you know, he's done it at the highest level. He both played and coached it, so I'm just going to be a sponge and, you know, try to absorb as much information I can from the man.
With that being said, I know that there's some talk out there that you guys are going to be asked to block a little bit more than you have in the past. How do you feel about that? Because most tight ends, well, tight ends nowadays, some tight ends, not you, but some tight ends, they don't like to block as much. So now, you know, they're being asked to do that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I was called a blocking tight end by you guys until I started catching passes. Then I became.
Time out. I played tight end.
I will do whatever. I'm not talking about you, my guy. Not you.
Yeah, he's a little sensitive about that.
I'm being a sensitive media member right now.
I'm just playing. But, yeah, I mean, I came here. I mean, my role is a block because we had Jacob Tammy, a tremendous route runner for us, and we had Levine. So, I mean, my job was when I came here, it'd be like a run game guy and a special teamer. And then this past year, my role is more so third down. So, I mean, whatever the role is, I've been asked to do everything. I'm looking forward to it, and I'll embrace any challenge that comes in front of me.
Right, the offensive line's got some new pieces, and you look to your left or your right, and you see new guys. What are your first impressions?
I mean, they're really athletic. I mean, in shorts and a helmet, they look, you know, as good as anybody. I mean, but, you know, as offensive linemen.
That's fair enough, yes.
Yeah, as offensive linemen, they got to put the pads on, and then that's when they get to do what they really get to do. So it's hard to judge these offensive and defensive linemen because so much what they do requires, you know, that physical nature that you can't have in just a T-shirt. So, I mean, just taking a look at them, they're incredibly athletic. They have a great attitude in the building. They're very intelligent, and they can absorb a lot of information. So from that aspect, I'm very impressed with them.
I got to say, though, John Frigga, I like this Austin Hooper that got a little bit of edge about him, man. I like that in my tight end. Mad respect. I cannot wait to see what you're going to do this year, man.
I appreciate it. I don't know about what edge I got, but thank you for having me.
I won't make any predictions on the number of touchdowns.
Fans, I love you. There is no beef. There is no beef. Media, too.
Austin Hooper. With John and Hugh from yesterday, again, only Hugh Douglas could start an interview with Austin Hooper and say, hey, so you still got a beef with the media or what?
It is, yeah, but I mean, hey, it is what it is, man. We know because we're about to talk about a little sensitive behind athletes. They just, you know, you say something critical, they're not playing well, that's all I'm hating on you. No, you're not playing good, and I'm going to say it. Get over it. But, I mean, hey. Once again, a great season by him. Great bounce back by him.
Hey, I was wondering from your perspective. Obviously, you played the tight end position at a pretty high level for a pretty decent number of years in the NFL. How is he better now than when he came into the league?
I think he's more confident now.
Okay.
The confidence is there. He's gotten, and you could tell certain things that he had to work on from year to year. His route running against man-to-man coverage was so much better. Because, I mean, it would be third down and six. He would go 5 yards, get caught, get tackled. He did a better job of getting the depth and all these things. And he has gotten better as a blocker. And I told you, I played for Mike Mularkey, and I know the demand that he's going to put on them to block because Dirk Cutter wants to run the football. Dan Quinn wants to run the football. And they're going to put a higher demand on it from them, and it's going to take work. I mean, I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk to him. I'm just going to tell him, you know, the one thing about Mike Mularkey, his jokes don't get no funnier. Now, he's the corniest dude in the world, but he is one of
them. Is he really?
Oh, yeah. Coach Mularkey, them jokes are god-awful. But at the same time, the man is a great football coach. Great man also.
Like dad jokes?
Oh, dude, they're bad.
Puns?
Like he would come into the tight end room, and he'd be like, and we've been having
this is Mike Mularkey.
Yeah. And we're like, and he come into the tight end room, and we're just sitting there watching film and going over stuff, and he come in with some joke, and you just like crickets. And then he closed it and walked back out. Like, dude, go on somewhere, man.
You know what?
He's a great coach.
A weird, relatively unimportant aside that I'm going to mention here.
Uh-huh.
They did a study that showed that, like, canned laughter, like fake audience laughter,
uh-huh.
made people feel like jokes were actually funnier than they were.
You had to read a study about that?
Well, they did bad jokes.
Okay.
They told people bad jokes
uh-huh.
and saw how they reacted to them.
Uh-huh.
And then got another group of people and told them bad jokes.
Uh-huh.
Same jokes,
uh-huh.
and had just canned laughter afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And the second group of people were like, "Oh, they were okay." For whatever reason, audience laughter or participation makes it so. If you would have, I'm saying, Randy,
okay,
you might have could have helped Mike Mularkey out if you would have laughed at his jokes, and then maybe other people would have laughed too. As a leader in that room.
No, I was like, Mike, get out of here. Yeah, he was great. He's so fun. He's a great dude, man.
He could have been
guy.
A pillar.
Great
could have guy. Been a pillar right then and there.
Great guy.
That's right. I tell a lot of bad jokes.
You do.
You laugh at them sometimes.
I do laugh sometimes, but like we're working with these new box. You say you got your Randy isms. I got my bad Andy joke isms, and it's a box right here that when you say it, I just throw it over there like, and you know it too because you be like, oh, well, move on.
My bad. Let's go. I know. No, I do know it. I do know it. Sometimes I'll do that. It is. It always makes me happy though. It feels like an accomplishment if I get like a legitimate, like, gut laugh from Randy. It's like, all right, I did it.
Oh, but you know, I laughed though. I love the laugh.
I know you do.
You know that.
But you're not the easiest person in the world to make laugh.
I think I am.
Oh, there's other people. When I worked with Jarvis at night.
Yeah, Jarvis would
let out
that.
You just look at Jarvis and he'd laugh.
Jarvis hit that big man laugh.
Oh, yeah. And the big guy laughs a good laugh.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. What does Austin Hooper have to do to get to that next level? What's the next thing?
The one thing
for him?
He can't do is regress. You can't do it. I'm not saying he hasn't had 70 catches again this year, but he has got to, where he is right now, he's got to keep that maintained and get better at it, because he's going to be, I'm pretty sure that he's going to be asked to do some new things as far as motion and where he goes. He did a lot of it last year, but when the expectations that you have, I mean, yeah, you went to the Pro Bowl. Yeah, you're a Pro Bowl alternate. So, Pro Bowl, you know, it don't matter, you know. And that is something that they're going to look at you as. And then you're talking about, you're in the last year of your contract also. So, you know, you want that cash, go ball.
That's a great point.
You know, you're in the last year of your deal.
It's a contract. We talk a lot about the guys on defense, a lot of the other guys that are up for contracts. Austin Hooper is in that conversation
is.
You know a lot about the offense. I mean, you know what Dirk Cutter's offense is going to look like. You played with Mike Mularkey, like you just said, Should Austin Hooper expect a bigger role in this offense, or is it going to be similar to what it's been in his time?
See, here's the thing: when you say bigger role, I think when people talk about, especially a tight end in today's game, when you say bigger role, most people think it's just getting the ball thrown to you more.
That's what I mean.
You know, I don't think so. I think it's going to be about the same where it is now. Here's the thing: you got Devontae Freeman coming back too now, and he's going to take some catches from somebody.
I hope he does.
You know, and I hope he does too. Calvin Ridley is going to have a bigger role in this offense this year.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's why I said, if he doesn't get 71 and say he gets 59 or something, but yet you look at the effectiveness of those 59, then that's a successful season to me.
Other Falcons news from day one of training camp, as we are now in the middle of day two of training camp. Training camp actually probably almost over for the day. We'll chat with Ricardo Allen coming up in about 20 minutes. Not great news from day one.
No.
A couple of season-ending injuries. J.J. Wilcox hurts his ACL. He's going to be out for the year, backup safety. And then also Michael Bennett, one of the defensive linemen, one of the depth pieces on the defensive line, breaks his ankle yesterday, so he's going to be out for the year. Terrible to see that ever, but especially day one of training camp. You hate that for those guys, and hopefully they can get well soon and get back on this team or another team. The Falcons did make a move. They went out and signed Alan Bailey. Alan Bailey is a veteran. He played for the Chiefs last year. He had 6 sacks for the Chiefs last year. Played college in Miami. He's actually from Georgia. He's out on the coast in Georgia. But Alan Bailey comes in, and, you know, honestly, and you said this earlier, Randy, I think you're right. Alan Bailey's better than Michael Bennett.
Yeah, he is.
So your defensive line, unfortunately, not to diminish Michael Bennett's injury.
Of course
your
not.
Defensive line got better yesterday.
Yeah, he's a good football player. I mean, he's not an elite player or anything like that. But he is a good, solid football player that's going to come in here, help your rotation, because you even said it. You know, you always thought that they would go out and make a move on that defensive line, because that was the one question, I think maybe a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about position groups of the Falcons, and that was the one that you were worried about because of the lack of depth on it. You know, and that's one thing about it, but he can play all up and down the line. And, yeah, he had 6 sacks last year. He was playing with Chris Jones, who had 15.5 sacks with D Ford. I mean, they just couldn't stop anybody when the ball was when teams were able to get the pass off against the Chiefs, that's when they couldn't stop anybody. But if you look at all those rushes they had some dudes.
Yeah, they did.
They had some dudes.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but they just couldn't stop nobody in the back end.
All right, we'll get back into some training camp audio. Dan Quinn, Deion Jones, Grady Jarrett, Mohamed Sanu coming up in about 10 minutes. Before we get there, one other story from the NFL at large. Let me read you this quote from Odell Beckham Jr. Randy, you ready? Quote, "I felt disrespected because I felt like I was the main reason at keeping the brand alive. They were getting primetime games still as a 5-11 team. Why? Because people want to see the show. You want to see me play."
I'm going to sit you down somewhere, Odell. Like, that's why I'm so glad camp is starting, because you ain't going to have these daggone interviews. I mean, Odell.
You think Odell's going to stop saying stuff?
Odell's hurt. Oh, he needs to, because I'm telling you like this. And again, different game, all that. But, bruh, you didn't make the Giants nothing, okay? Because y'all didn't win none, all right?
Yeah.
All right, now you
pretty sure the brand was all right.
You got traded because of the way you were acting. Now, I still don't think they should have traded him, because you don't trade generation-type players. But, again, we're in a different age, a different time, all that stuff right there. Because I didn't think Antonio Brown was going to be traded. But at the same time, you're different. But yeah, this whole nonsense, dude, you're mad because you're in Cleveland, all right? Which is a better spot than New York.
I mean,
I'm talking about team-wise. It's still Cleveland. But at the same time, we know you wanted to be in L.A. We know you wanted to be a Ram and all that. You didn't get your wish. Just grow up, man. Like you would think right now, at this point in his career, that he'd be past stuff like this.
You would think.
You would think,
you would
right?
hope.
You would think.
But some people are just kind of like this.
Just move on, man.
Terrell Owens was acting like this kind of until he was 40 years old. Some guys are just like
this.
They're
just whiny.
Guys are just kind of like that.
just whining.
The thing I have a problem with, like, I mean, I don't really care. Odell Beckham could bring attention on himself as much as he wants. He is in Cleveland now, though. He knows that,
in a better situation.
Like, but, you know, you're going to maybe rub your teammates the wrong way you're on the team with now.
I just
acting like this about being there. Like, you guys have a chance to be a really good team in Cleveland.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Update. My sister just texted me. Mon Dukes is doing fine. Doctor said everything went well.
That is awesome. Yeah. She got a knee replacement surgery earlier this morning.
Yes, so she's good
now.
That
is great.
Yeah, she's good.
That is great. All right. We'll come back. We'll get back into some training camp audio from yesterday. Dan Quinn, Deion Jones, Grady Jarrett. Also, Ricardo Allen going to join us at 11:30. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
One of those things, couple of guys having discussion.
Andy Randy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Coming to you live from the Kia Studios as Falcons training camp day number two has come to an end. The guys are leaving the field, which means Ricardo Allen will find his way to a telephone in the next 10 minutes or so and join us. Can't wait to talk to Rico. Obviously, you know, you want to talk about comeback stories. You want to talk about, you said it yesterday, Randy, the embodiment of what you want, basically, in a football player. Ricardo Allen is that guy.
Oh, yeah.
To overcome everything that he's overcome. He got cut on
Hard
Knocks. And then to switch positions, get the contract that he got before the season last year, and then unfortunately have his season cut short so early. We'll ask him about all of that, of course, but look ahead to this season as well and just what he thinks that they can be. So Ricardo Allen's going to join us in the next few minutes. Before we get there, and we'll get to the Wendy Zone coming up in about 20 minutes, a lot of other stuff went down yesterday at training camp, including, and I like this about Dan Quinn. There might be some people out there that maybe get a little offended. You know, people get offended by certain things these days. I like casual swearing Dan Quinn. Casual swearing Dan Quinn was back in full effect yesterday.
When I talked to the rookies, I said, okay, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to be playing in a game. And that kind of like, oh, you know, we're about to get rolling. And so it was kind of, did I say that? Sorry. So maybe we can do some creative editing.
But seriously,
Dan Quinn. Yesterday.
But seriously, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
I mean, I still remember the first one. Even though it was a preseason game against Tampa.
Of course.
But it was like you don't look at it. It was like I'm playing in a damn NFL game.
What are you, 21 years old?
No, it's 22.
22
I'm like,
years old.
I'm playing in a damn NFL.
You've been looking forward to that moment your entire life.
But the funny
you've got an NFL uniform on and a helmet and pads and everything. I mean, you're out there in an NFL field.
Yes, it was like so. Yeah, it hits you like that sometimes. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, but still, you notice he keep on saying young guys.
Oh yeah. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, I don't think Shabby playing.
Schaub?
No, I ain't
no that's going to be a Kurt Benkert.
That's going to be Kurt Benkert. He's going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Kurt Benkert.
Yes.
You might see some Quadri Ollison. You'll see some of him at running back.
Yes.
You'll see, I don't even know who the receivers
Justin
are going to be.
Gage will be, Gage
yeah,
be
Justin
one.
Justin Gage will be. He's going to get a lot of targets.
Yeah, the guy with the best hands on the team, Hardy.
They're going to make Hardy play? okay.
Yeah,
I mean, somebody's got to play.
What you mean?
Somebody's
I think I'll
play.
Make him play.
Well, he's, you know.
He ain't established like that.
He's been around for a minute.
Man, he ain't done nothing not to play in that game.
Well,
man, please.
Calvin Ridley's not going to play.
Oh, no. Ridley ain't playing.
Yeah, I'm just saying he's been around a little bit longer. That's all. No, you're right. The Hall of Fame game is going to be a showcase for a lot of guys who most of them aren't going to be on the team when the 53-man roster is announced at the end of training camp. But that's okay. Still, it's still fun to look forward to. And like you said, Randy, for a lot of these guys, honestly, for a lot of these guys, this is the most they'll ever play in an NFL uniform.
Yep.
So we look forward to seeing that, but no, don't expect to see very many veterans on the field that day in Canton, Ohio. A lot of rookies will be able to get out there. And look, the good thing is the Falcons have a lot of youth on this team, so we'll get a first look at some of the draft picks that they had, some of the guys that are going to be competing for those depth spots, and looking forward to that. But Dan Quinn also, and he said this yesterday, we don't have to play it again. I know it's played into the ground, saying that he's more lit and more woke than he's ever been coming into a camp.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he sound like it? Like he's like yelling at the media.
Well, the thing with Dan,
he's so fired up.
This is the thing with Dan, and if you know Dan and you've been around him, he's always like this, man. He's a very, very energetic coach. He always has been. It just seems like his energy, and it's not fake energy. That's what I love about it sometimes. And it's, you know, he really is jacked. He loves ball, man. I mean, and you want your coaches to have that feeling, man. I mean, he's not a big yeller, but he'll get up in you if he has to. He'll say something to you if he has to. But at the same time, yeah, man, this is what you live for. This is my job, and now I'm getting to finally do it again after all offseason training and all that. Now I'm actually getting to do my job.
Dan Quinn is actually meeting with the media again as we speak right now out at Flowery Branch as training camp practice day number two is over. We'll get you updated audio, today's audio, as the show goes on, because, again, he's meeting live with the media right now. And we'll be back out there tomorrow, Randy. We were supposed to be out there today, but the weather was bad, so they made a decision to make sure to protect the equipment and
if
all that stuff.
If we had sides on the tent, would we have been up there?
That's a good question. That's an interesting question.
Yes, Wendy gives me the thumbs up.
Well, we would be up there. Okay, yes. Well, we'll be back up there tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., Thursday as well, so come by and say hello. But we head up there right now.
Oh, it was thumbs up because Rico's on the line.
Yeah, I know. No. Two thumbs up because Rico's on the line. Ricardo Allen joining us here now on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. How you doing today, Rico?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
We're doing great, man.
Doing really good.
We appreciate you taking some time for us today. And honestly, we were out there yesterday when you guys took the field. We didn't know that we were going to see number 37 out there being able to participate the way that you did. When did you know that you were going to be healthy enough to go in training camp like you have?
Oh, man, I always felt good, you know, going through my training and my rehab and stuff like that. I always felt really good, but I never knew the load that I was going to take, man. I was hoping it would be a good surprise that I was able to get out on the field and, you know, start the first day, but I didn't know if they were going to clear me or not. So when I heard that I actually had some plays, man, I was pretty excited about it.
When did you find out officially? Like, when did they clear you and tell you that you were going to be able to be out there yesterday?
Man, probably like right before I was going to get, I found out right in the meetings, right before I was going to go on the field, that I had had some reps in practice. And I was like, oh, man, it's time to go. Everybody kind of looked at me and was like, oh, let's go,
man. All right.
That was great, man, because I know that was a great day because we were looking at it. I was like, hold on, is that 37 out there?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, no, he's just out there. He did. Then I go back over there and you're running team and I see you on the field. I'm like, oh, my God, this dude is actually out here practicing. Because I know that day over there in the Mercedes-Benz against the Saints and when you hurt yourself and everything, I know that was a dark moment for you. But what was your mindset trying to get back? Because I know every athlete says, I'll be back by the start of the season. But, I mean, what was that mindset like?
It was a time to prove to myself, you know, my mindset was, you know, just – I got babies at home, man, so they ain't never really seen me. This is my first time going through injury and stuff like that, so they ain't never really even seen me down. So I was saying, like, if I'm going to be the one who preach to them and talk to them later on in life when it's time for them to, you know, because they're going to go through some hard times. Everything ain't going to always be easy. So I want to be the guy that I'm always one of the ones who telling everybody to keep going, always trying to build everybody up. I always got good spirits and things are going good for me, so... When it was my first time being hurt. I wanted to see what kind of player, what kind of person I was, you know, when things got tough. So I always, you know, talk to myself. I've seen plenty of players get hurt and come back, make comeback player of the year, make, you know, some of the best plays, be some of the best players on the field. You know, Adrian Peterson come back from an ACL that one time and had one of his best careers. So I'm like, shoot, why not take this as a year that I can get down and, you know, I can study the defense a little bit more. I can start to study offense a little more. I can work on some of the things that I thought, you know, was my weaknesses and just, you know, keep building.
Falcon safety Ricardo Allen joining us live from Flowery Branch on training camp day number two. Ricardo, they say that the absence makes the heart grow fonder. I know that you wanted to be on the field last year, of course, but you weren't. I wonder if sort of having that taken away from you in the middle of your prime makes this season feel a little bit more special.
Yeah, it does, man. It's like you never really get like when you hurt, you got to put life into perspective. It ain't, you just a football player. I've been playing football ever since I started, and I've been grinding. That was like what I did my whole life. And when you're doing stuff for so long and you're doing things so consistently, it started to become like normal. It started to become like what life is supposed to be. And then when football is taken away from you for, you know, just out of the blue, you know, I blew my Achilles, a non-contact, just being by myself. You just, you know, life starts to slow down. And you start to realize that, like, man, what else does this world, you know, have for me? All I can do is sit around and think. All I can do is sit around and really focus on myself. So I wanted to see, like, you know, I always say I wanted to see what kind of person I was. I picked up a lot of books, studied with my family. But, shoot, being in this season and being out, man, it makes life, you know, it makes football much more important. You start to enjoy and appreciate, you know, every time you're on the field, because you know it really is a blessing, and you don't ever know when it's the last play.
You know, that's right. And I always say this about you, and it's always fun to interview. I would say you embody everything that Dan wants in a football player. Tough, you're smart. You try to beat him in the mornings during game week so you can get your prep on and everything. And we had a chance to talk to Mohamed Sanu yesterday, and he was talking about there's a different type of focus this year for y'all. Do you see that right now?
Oh man, yeah. Just even coming out today and just being in the rain. You know, people don't like practicing in the rain, but I swear, just, you know, we were sore, we were tired already. You know, that second day, first day of training camp, your body feel really good. Right. Second day, you really get that shock, man. You're like, well, we just been running, we ain't hit nobody yet, but we still very sore. So it's like, some people come out and be dragging around. It was raining. We could have easily, you know, made excuses about the day. But, like, this team was focused today. Offense and defense competing. We challenging each other. We trying to take care of each other as much as we can. But, man, it is a real good focus going on around this team right now. It's like a good feeling to it.
Ricardo Allen joining us as practice just comes to an end up there at Flowery Branch. Now, Rico, we heard Dan Quinn address you guys the other day when everyone reported to camp. And he said he was, quote, more lit and more woke for this season than ever before. Is that true? Can you confirm the lit and woke Dan Quinn?
Oh, yeah. He's been on it the last 2 days, man. One thing he's not doing, he's making sure he's not letting anything slide. And he's making sure that if he got something to say, he's going to make sure he get on it right there. So I appreciate that, and I like that. And he's pushing all his players to keep going. He's pushing everybody to keep getting better. And you can tell he's excited about this season because he knows who we are. Like, he know who this team is. Once we get back to what we do and get everybody back healthy, get everybody on the same page, and when we, you know, we're going to take it day by day because we've got a long time to go before the season starts, but we're going to keep, you know, building these blocks every chance we get because we know what type of team we have.
What were your initial thoughts when you knew that he was going to be the new defensive coordinator?
Man, me and Coach Quinn, we got like such like a, uh-huh. You know, like I talk to Q, you know, on a daily basis, man, and I understand, you know, a lot of his mindset because, you know, he's really the one who, like, helped develop me and change me into, like, the free safety spot, you know, him and him. But with Q just, you know, taking over the defense, I it's like, because I've been with him for so long and I've seen the way he liked to call things, man, he just liked to let his players cut free, you know, play your player's strength and let's go get it. And I kind of like that because, me, I'm the type of player, I work hard enough and I grind, you know, through the whole, you know, off season and during the season and stuff to be like when it's tough times, I want him to call on me. I want him to put me in the tough position to be able to either win or lose the game because I'm not just trying to be out there. Like, if I'm going to be a part of a game, I want to be either the reason we lost that thing or the reason we won that thing. And more time, I want to be a part of the win, you know?
Not everybody has that. That's a hell of a mentality to have.
Yeah, man, I'm not just trying to be out there. You're just wasting space just being on the field. Anybody can do that.
Right.
Hey, obviously Falcons fans last year were heartbroken, not just at your injury, but there was a rash of injuries on the defense. Keanu Neal missed the majority of the season. How does number 22 look so far through 2 days of training camp?
Oh, man, he's been looking really good. Just floating, you know, just, you know, moving around like he always doing, having his presence being felt always in the, you know, the box, man. He's moving real good. He feels real comfortable, man. We've been talking. It's been cool to just, you know, go through that process just with my partner. It's sad that you don't ever want to be hurt, but, like, to be able to come back, you know, at the same time with your partner and to be able to work through our injuries together, man, it's just cool to be able to watch him because he looked good. He feels good. He's running good. He looks smooth. He looked like the old Kiki. So, you know, that's a good thing for me.
And like you said, unfortunate, you did have an injury to one of your brothers and a guy who was going to help you all out at that safe position and JJ yesterday, just an unfortunate type incident. What about that loss for y'all?
Man, that hurt my soul right there because he was a good dude. Like he felt into like he blended into our room really well, man. He was a guy that came in, he took his role serious, man. You could tell he's done it before, he's been in the league. He knew his plays. He was challenging. He was competing, man. And, like, for somebody to go and work that hard and come into a group and, like, get the whole group to, like, you know, appreciate him and bond with him and bring him in, man, it was tough to even see that happen, man. Because, like, me coming from, you know, my whole time, my whole grind, just getting back to this game, I know how hard it is to actually just even get ready for training camp. And then when you go down on your first day, man, that's tough for anybody. You don't want to see no injuries for no one.
Ricardo Allen joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy live from Flowery Branch. Now, Rico, you said during your injury you spent a lot of time diving into the defense, but you also said you spent some time looking at offenses as well. I have to imagine it's going to be tough for defensive coordinators to game plan against what the Falcons are doing on offense this year. If that was your job, if you were tasked with trying to stop this offense, how would you even go about trying to do that?
Golly, I can't tell you. I'm going to tell you. It's tough because you don't know, like, who do you double? Who do you not double? Who do you single up? Like, that would be, like, the hardest thing because any of those wide receivers you don't want to get singled up. You got Pro Bowl tight end, got Pro Bowl running backs, got great offensive line, got an all-world quarterback. It ain't really, like, you just got to hope your player's ready to compete, man. You better get out there and just hope that they compete and hope that the offense make mistakes more so than they make completions and stuff, because it's like practicing against this offense, man, they have you so ready to go into the game.
Well, last one for me, and the guy who took over for you in Devontae Casey and had a really good year last year, now he's moving to that nickel spot. You know that heat in that nickel, and you also know the how it is to be back there at free safety. Which is going to be harder for him to adjust to, the free safety spot or being down in that heat at the nickel spot?
You know, he played nickel his whole life, you know, coming through, like, college and all kind of stuff. But he's also a really good, like, free safety because he got, like, just a natural knack for, like, just going to get the ball. And if he get in any, he get his fingertips on it, he's going to get that thing for sure. But it's just, like, everything comes with, you know, every position comes with its pros and cons that you have to learn about it. You know, as a middle field safety, you don't have to learn, you know, the bruises and the bumps of it in the nickel spot. You don't have to learn the bruises and the bumps of it. So it's cool when all of us is out there, because I played nickel too. I played in this defense for a while, so it's like I can always help. And he's doing a really good job of trying to, like, pick the wide receiver's brains of, like, how they attack nickels and how they do kinds of things. So he's trying to find a way to do, like, a deep research on the nickel position.
Hey, Rico, we appreciate the time today. It was great to see you on the field yesterday, and we can't wait to see what the season holds in store for you and the rest of the defense.
Thanks a lot, brother.
I appreciate that. It's good to be back.
Take care.
Ricardo Allen there, number 37, Falcon safety. And, again, he didn't know he was going to be on the field yesterday
that's
practice
funny.
Until right before practice. Right. That had to have been a hell of a
feeling. Oh, yeah, because usually when they put up the script for practice, they'll put your number, who's going to be on the play. And I'm sure he saw 37 like, hold on. Where? Oh, yeah. It's on.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Day number one. To be back and ready for day one is pretty impressive. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to the Wendy Zone. We'll react to some of what Ricardo Allen told us at the top of the 12 o'clock hour as well. All coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time for the Wendy Zone. We'll get in 15 minutes into the most important audio in the entire world, some of which will probably be provided by Ricardo Allen, who we just talked to in the last segment. Thanks again to Rico.
Yeah, man.
I got to say thanks to Randy McMichael for being so eagle-eyed and seeing Rico out there yesterday at the beginning of practice, which led us to be able to ask Rico about when he knew he was going to practice. I think we found out. I don't think anybody. I think
he found out in the meetings.
Knew that before we asked him. Yeah, he didn't know.
Amazing.
That he was going to be out there until they put it up on the board. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, but just don't rush.
You know, get
you a couple plays.
But it is so,
because he's competitive as they come. He wants to be out there. But
yeah, take it slow.
And it's so
September. I need you in September.
Still got more than a month before the first season.
Need you in September.
Need you in February.
Need you in September.
February, January, September.
Oh, want you there, but need you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited to have him back. He's always one of those guys in the locker room who will stop and chat about anything that you need to ask him, and he will stay for as long as you need him to stay, and he's just such a class act. I love Ricardo Allen. I'm so happy he's back.
Genuinely good dude.
Yes,
a very, very good dude. Well, we've heard a lot of NFL ranting, you know, over the last week. It's been about Madden ratings, but Le'Veon Bell took his rant a different direction. It wasn't necessarily towards the Madden ratings. It was towards fans who expect him to be, you know, practicing all the time, even when it's the off season and you're supposed to vacation. So he took to his Instagram on Sunday. He now plays for the New York Jets to deliver a public address against all his social media haters and putting on blast for criticizing his hobbies, including music and basketball. Here's a 20-second clip of it. It was a minute and a half total, but here's a little portion of it.
You think Bron is waking up? Oh, he ain't having no Taco Tuesdays. Bro don't have Taco Tuesdays. Y'all think he's just hooping all day? Y'all think Beyonce waking up singing all day? She don't go to work, she don't act. She don't do nothing else taking her kids. Y'all think she's waking up singing. So y'all think it's legitimate for me to just, oh yeah, I ain't supposed to be in this airport on the escalator. I'm supposed to be running up the steps, huh? Working out.
And so if you continue to watch the rant, he's literally going down the stairs. He's like, I'm doing this for you guys. I'm running up these stairs because that's what you want me to do. You want me to constantly be practicing and working on my game. This is what you expect out of me.
Now, these are the ones that are always hard because, like, the message is right. Like, Le'Veon Bell's right.
Yeah, it's 100% correct.
Fans get ridiculous about athletes doing things. Like their lives have to be all consumed by exercise and practice and game study. Like, anytime an athlete, especially if it's an athlete that you don't think is especially very good, puts something on social media, there's going to be a fan reaction that says, you should be studying the playbook. Like how do you know I didn't do that this morning?
Let me tell you something, man. In the offseason, players have so much time to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
All right, you can get your workout in. You get your 3-4 hours in, and you have the rest of the day to yourself. He's absolutely correct. You don't think about football all day long in the offseason.
It would be unhealthy, too.
It would be unhealthy. Now, the rap thing, yeah, bruh, it's whack. It's not good.
Right. Well, it's a hobby.
It's very bad.
Right. But that's the flip side of it.
Yeah, like,
the
very
message
bad.
Is right. The messenger is the problem.
Yeah, the rapping is bad, dude.
It's, man.
Don't criticize his rapping.
Oh, it's garbage.
He's a bad rapper.
It's garbage.
But it's his hobby. He's allowed to have a hobby.
Have fun with it. That's your hobby. But don't be trying to make it seem like you got a career in that, because that's garbage.
He should consider a different hobby. Like,
what would Le'Veon Bell's hobby be?
Collecting stamps, maybe. Get into stamp collecting.
Like the quarter map?
Yeah, the quarter maps are really hot. Those are pretty cool.
But you do get annoyed by that. But
woodworking.
But here's the thing, Andy. Everybody wants to get mad at fans and all that. You put that stuff out there. You put yourself out there, and you let them see what you're doing. So.
Exactly. And that's why the message I agree with. And I remember when I used to do a show in Portland, CJ McCollum came on the show one time, and he would be on the show once a week, but he talked about this one time. He was like, every time I post a picture of me doing something, anything around the city, I get 10 messages from fans asking me why I'm not in the gym, as if I couldn't have just come from the gym or I'm going to the gym. Like, why can't I go get some ice cream sometimes on a Thursday night?
What would be the equivalent for us in here if we just didn't, if we stop talking about sports anytime we went out?
Well, that's anytime you talk about something that makes people uncomfortable and they tell you to stick to sports.
Yeah.
I think that's what that would be. And I find that irritating as well.
No one wants to talk about their work all the time.
All the damn time?
No.
Like, bruh.
You need a break.
But it's so crazy. Like, oh, why aren't you? You mind your own damn business. Because I want to.
But again, like, if you're putting it out there all the time, then you're asking people to mind
because
your business.
Here's the thing, especially with how social media is nowadays. You can put a picture of a beautiful sunset and somebody finds something wrong with it. It's just, that's just how it is, bro. But my thing is, stop reading all your mentions, all right? Just because if you're sitting there and this is an athlete's favorite line, I don't listen to what people say. I don't care.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Well, we found out from Austin Hooper even this morning that
I don't care. I don't listen to nobody.
He was very honest.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
You might be listening to what people are saying. Do you ever find yourself, you see a tweet or an exchange on social media that you know is going to lead to ridiculous comments, and you say to yourself, don't go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go. And then 20 minutes later, you're still reading them. It's like, dang, people are just outrageous. I do that all the time.
Like, do you read other people's comments?
Oh, yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I don't I'll get in there. Like, you know, somebody will tweet something political or whatever. Yeah. And then I'll be like, what are people going to say? It's like, wow, that is just blatant racism right here on social media. Nah, but
don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Just stay up. But again, you're going to put yourself out there. Don't get mad when they react the way they react. That's how I look at it. But no. Athletes don't work out 24 hours a day, okay?
Should.
It just don't happen.
And it's okay.
It don't happen.
Eat, sleep, and breathe football.
You have a lot of time in the offseason. It's okay. You can go vacations. We can go to the beach.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Go to the beach to run on the sand.
That's it. Don't enjoy the water. All right, Forbes released their annual list of the world's most valuable sports teams. The numbers are based on calculations done over the past year for the NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, Formula One, soccer, and NASCAR. So the top 50 loaded with NFL teams. In fact, 26 of the 32 football teams cracked the list. But do you guys have any guesses at who is number one on Forbes' most valuable teams in the world?
Dallas?
Cowboys?
Yeah, Cowboys are number one.
They were there last year, too.
$5
billion. $5
billion. Who do you think is behind them?
Probably Patriots.
Lakers?
Patriots?
Nope.
Not the Patriots?
It's a baseball team.
Oh, the Yankees.
Yankees are at number two, $4.6 billion. I'll run down the top 10 for you guys. Real Madrid, $4.24 billion. Barcelona is at number four. Number five, the New York Knicks. Still $4 billion franchise.
That's that TV network they got.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, Manchester United. Mm-hmm. Number seven, the New England Patriots. Mm. Number eight, the L.A. Lakers. Nine, Golden State Warriors. And number 10 is a tie between the New York Giants and the L.A. Dodgers.
Where are the Falcons at?
They're not in the top 20, I can tell you that.
What were they last year? Like $3 billion, something like that? If you can get into owning a professional sports team, this is just a little financial advice from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Do that. If you can own a professional sports team, do that, because it's going to be worth more money.
Oh, man.
That's a return on investment.
If you can have your name on the check.
They call that ROI.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll get to – that's just financial
planning. 28, by the way.
28?
28.
In the world, that's not bad.
Yeah.
How much are they worth?
$2.6 billion.
That's a lot of money. But the Blake's rich. All right, we'll come back and get to the most important audio in the entire world. Thank you, Wendy. As always, the Solomon Brothers Down and Text line is open as well, 404-741-0929. We'll be right back on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.